week. No one said that life was going to be easy. There's a battle that we go through, and we continue to battle it. And just to reiterate, I know it's been said a couple times, but some of you might be wondering, well, what is this fasting thing about? I assume people are going to be fasting this week. We're going to, you know, come some nights. I think every night of the week, there's an opportunity to come Monday to Friday from 7 till 9. You can fast from food. You might even just fast from a couple meals. And the idea is that you withhold something so that there's, when you withhold something, there's more room for God. You're thinking about God more. You might have a little bit of a pang in your stomach because you're hungry, but that gives you a reminder to pray and to seek God. You can fast from TV. You can fast, I know this seems like ridiculous, but you could fast from your computer. You could fast from that little phone thing. You could fast from all those things. You know, put your phone away for a day, and when you're wanting to grab it and you want to check the score or check your text, you go, oh, no, I'm going to pray instead. So you can fast from things other than food. I'm planning on fasting from shoveling snow. Just kidding. That doesn't count. I know that doesn't count. Bowling, you can fast from bowling. Okay. I'm going to read, but just before we read from Corinthians, we're going to bind. We're going to do a little binding this morning. The Bible says that, and I really felt God was, he's been leading me to do this over and over again. And sometimes I'm 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm just binding Satan. And it's a good thing no one else lives at our house besides me and Crystal, because sometimes we're just yelling. We're just screaming. You get out of here. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Jesus said that we have the authority to bind the enemy. We have the authority to do that. Not just him. He gives us that authority. So we can actually say to Satan, Satan, you get out of here. And we do that right now. We declare it in the name of Jesus Christ that Satan is going to leave. Whatever influence he has in this place, whatever leverage he has in this place, we say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, we command you to leave. You do not belong here. You are not in the family picture. You are not in the family picture. And so we bind you under the blood of Jesus. And we declare that you are not in our families. You are not in our marriages. You are not in that relationship we have with our children. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And under the blood of Jesus, we bind the addictions. We bind the fears and the ways that you war against us. We bind you so that you have no influence, you have no power. And we proclaim today that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other Lord. There is no other Savior. His name is Jesus. And he promised that one day soon, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I'm going to say that again. Romans 16. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And I don't know if you've been waiting for this. I think you have been. But we're waiting for this, that this day is coming. He's already bound up. Satan is bound up because Jesus said we can bind him up, but one day he is going to be crushed completely under our feet. Not because we're so great or because we're powerful at all. But we know that's not true. We know we're pretty weak, actually. But because of the power that lives in me through the Holy Spirit. And so we speak to the enemy and we say, flee. Get behind me. You don't belong here. You don't belong in my life. You've got no room in my marriage or in my home. In my business, you are gone. We declare it in Jesus' name under the blood that Jesus has won our victory with. And we release, we bind, but we release today. We release the truth. Amen? We release the truth. We release the peace, the shalom, the wholeness, the contentment that we can only have through God. We release that through the power of God and through the power of His Holy Spirit. We bind the enemy, but we set the Holy Spirit free to give us joy and peace today. And we open up our hearts and our minds to listen and to hear. Thank you, Jesus. We just want to pray a prayer of gratitude, Jesus. Thank you that you give us this power. And we need to use this better. We need to use this more. Lord, encourage us. We don't need a pastor to bind. You give each one of us power and authority to do this. We need to take authority over the things that are warring against us in our lives. Some of us here were struggling with grief. So we take authority over that. We thank you, God, that you give comfort. Some of us are struggling with our children. We take authority over that. The enemy does not get to dabble in our families. And we speak peace. We speak peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the Lord of Lords. You're the King of Kings. You're the Alpha and the Omega. you've got something great for us today. And you look at us with a smile on your face, that your mercy triumphs over judgment is the greatest news of all. And that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the amazing gospel. So thank you, Jesus. I pray that you'll open our ears. God, I pray that right now, too, this maybe seems crazy, but there'll be no cravings right now in this hour for cigarettes or for anything else, and that you will take that more than 1 hour, that we'll be able to make it through this hour without sneaking out for a smoke, that we'll make it through the hour after that, and the 10 hours after that, and the days that follow that, God, that you'll break, in the name of Jesus, break that addiction, because it's costing us a lot of money, and it's ruining our lives in some way. So even for that, God, we dare to speak. Thank you, Jesus. Open your word now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And say amen.
Amen.
Hey. All right. Is the furnace working now? It seems to be. Well, something's going on. Maybe it's, okay. If you have your Bibles, I want to read from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, this is near the end of this book, that the first book that Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. And he wants to reaffirm what the gospel is all about. And he centers on the resurrection. He goes back to the resurrection, and he wants us all to understand, you know what, Jesus is alive, and this is the best news of all. If Jesus isn't alive, we've got no reason to live. We've got no hope. If he's not alive, then he hasn't defeated sin. He hasn't defeated our struggles. He hasn't defeated the enemy. But here's the good news. Jesus is alive, and he proved it. He showed himself to hundreds of people. He made it clear. In between the time when Jesus rose from the dead and the time when he ascended into heaven, it's about 7 weeks of time, Jesus went around and showed himself to many, many people so that the testimony was clear and it was doubtless. Jesus is really alive. I saw him with my own eyes. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Amen? You'd be able to go, yeah, amen to that. He was raised. Jesus Christ was raised according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. We don't know exactly when that happened. It might have been in Galilee, because you remember when Jesus rose from the dead, he said to a bunch of people, hey, meet me in Galilee. We're all getting together in Galilee. So maybe it was that time that he appeared to 500 people. Imagine that. In one sitting, 500 people. There's nobody who could say that Jesus wasn't alive. It would take 500 people to be liars. All of them had to lie and stay consistent in that lie throughout their whole lives. He appeared to 500 people, some of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep or who've died. And then he appeared to James. He's talking, this James is his brother James, his stepbrother. And then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles. And he says that because he was a persecutor of the Christians, the new Christians. This is Paul talking. I don't deserve to even be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. And yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach and this is what you believe. This is what you believe. You can say amen to that. I love it that Jesus appeared to a whole lot of people. He didn't just appear to, you know, three or four, and we don't just need to take their word for it. He appeared to hundreds of people. He did it for us. He did it for a good reason, so that there'd be indisputable proof. It would take all of these hundreds of people to all be liars for this not to be true, that Jesus is risen from the dead. And we have a number of examples in the Bible of Jesus actually appearing to people. After we're talking now about his risen, his glorious body. Jesus appeared to Thomas, right? Remember that story? He appears to Thomas. He says, Thomas, you doubted. Here, put your hand through the hole, right? Don't doubt no more. He appeared to Mary at the tomb. Remember, he just said her name. She realized it was him, but he says, Mary. And she was familiar with his voice. Mary! And she goes, Rabboni, teacher. He appeared to the disciples, we're told. We know that. He appeared to the disciples a couple different occasions. The scriptures record these things. And then he appears to the two fellows. One guy's name is Cleopas, and then there's another on the road to Emmaus. They're walking along, you know, and all of a sudden Jesus is walking with them. They go, where'd you come from? And he goes, oh, it doesn't matter, but let's talk about this Jesus. He says, haven't you heard this Jesus is alive? He's risen. All of Jerusalem is in a stir. And Jesus goes, oh, really? So who is this Jesus guy? Right? He appeared to those guys too. So we have these stories. Here's the thing today. We have these stories of Jesus literally appearing in his glorious, his resurrected body. And we have the accounts of them. They're in the Bible. But what's intrigued me lately is that, you know what, there's also a couple of examples where we're told that he appeared to someone or a couple people, and we don't hear anything about that. The two in this passage we read are to Peter and to James, his brother. Now, Peter was one of Jesus' best friends. The James that we're hearing about, that it says here that he appeared to James, and then he appeared to James, and then to the apostle. The James is actually his literal brother, his blood brother, or his half-blood brother. And what you might not know about James is that James was a denier of Christ. He didn't believe in Jesus. He thought Jesus was crazy. He thought he was a lunatic while Jesus was on the earth. But it seems kind of interesting, after Jesus appears to James, that we start hearing that this James becomes this mighty man of God. He becomes one of the guys who are praying in Acts. He starts following Paul and Silas, and he starts to proclaim, and the church starts to get built around James, the actual brother of John. He becomes a leader, particularly in the city of Jerusalem, and particularly dealing with Jewish converts. That's what happens with James. But what's interesting to me is that Jesus appears to these two guys, and we don't hear anything about it. Nothing. Even when Jesus appears to Peter, that's not the time when we read in the Bible where Jesus comes to Peter post-resurrection and says, do you love me? That's a different time, because that's when all the disciples are together. What it says here is that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. He had a one-on-one meeting with Peter. The resurrected Lord sought Peter out, and he said, Peter, we need to talk. I need to spend a little time with you before I'm gone here. I think that's cool. And you know, what happens here is everything that's said between Jesus and Peter and Jesus and James is between them. It's not for us. It's not in the Bible. This is a private conversation. We don't know what they talked about. There's a part of me that wants to know. You know, I want to know what happened. Why don't you tell us? You tell us the other things. You tell us about Thomas and about Mary and something. Why don't we get to hear what Jesus said to Peter? You know why? Because it's none of your business. This is none of your business. This is between Jesus and one of his best friends. And this is between Jesus and his brother. And this is going to be something that doesn't make it in the Bible. But it still happened. This is a one-on-one, personal conversation that Jesus has. He knew, obviously, that these guys needed it. You know, Jesus knew he had these 50 days when he was going to be, you know, post-resurrection, before he's ascended. He knew that he had to strengthen. I don't know what he said to James. I don't know what he said to Peter. But whatever it was to strengthen. It was to encourage them. Probably, you know, I'm guessing he's saying to Peter, you're going to, remember that rock thing I told you about? You're going to be that rock. And Peter goes, I don't feel like a rock, maybe. You're going to be the rock. I'm going to build my church on you, Peter. And maybe James, maybe he had the conversation with James. He says, James, bro, we grew up together. You're the only one who knows about my life from, you know, year 1 to year 30 or year 27. Can you imagine the kind of conversation he might have with his real brother? And it's probably a conversation to encourage him. Maybe he said to James, you know, James, you have the power of God in you. There's so much you could do for this kingdom. There's so much God wants to do, and he's going to fill you with his spirit. He's going to make you a mighty missionary. You are no longer going to be that doubter anymore. You are going to be a man of God, and you're still my brother. You grew up with me, and you're going to need to carry on You're going to need to carry on with this mission, this kingdom building mission that I have been on. I don't know. I wonder about that. One thing I know for sure is I wish that Jesus still did that nowadays. I don't know if you feel that sometimes, but there are times in my life I go, okay, Jesus, I could use a little visit. You ever have that? It's time for coffee. You know, I get that from Gaston once in a while. I'll just get one word, coffee with a question mark. Jesus, you know, if he would do, I wouldn't mind that. A little, he just has to say coffee. Stan, coffee. Yes, I'm in. Where? What time? Right? I think that you relate to that. Wouldn't it be great to just have that little, even if it's just 5 minutes, just a few minutes with Jesus, especially when I'm going through a hard time, especially when I got a lot of questions. I got a lot of them. You know, maybe 5 minutes wouldn't be enough, but wouldn't you like to have a cup of coffee with Jesus? Wouldn't you like to just have him say, hey, I need to spend some time with you because you need some personal time. You do. I have some things to say to you. You know what I would like, even if it's just this, even if I could just be in his presence. And I'm talking now about the literal, physical, glorious, resurrected body of Jesus. Just to be actually with him and have him just say my name. If that was all that would happen, you know, wouldn't that be something, Gertie? If all you heard from him, you sat with him, you sat across the table, and honestly, there's not a lot to say, maybe anyways, and he just said to you, oh, my Gertie. Ah, oh, my precious Gertie. Right? And now here's where I got the bad news. And it's going to sound a little bit like heresy, so you're going to have to be patient. Let me explain this, okay? No one walks out for at least 5 minutes. Because the bad news is that's not going to happen. Jesus is not, this is going to sound heretical, Jesus is not here. He's not. Not if we're talking about the physical, glorious, resurrected body. The person of Jesus is not here, okay? We talk sometimes, I think our theology sometimes gets kind of messed up. We talk like he's here, we talk like, you know, he's present all the time, but he's not. When we talk that way, what we really mean to say is that the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of Christ is here. But Jesus himself, let's be clear about this, Jesus himself has ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Right? Just before Pentecost, his disciples were with Jesus, and they watched Jesus as he ascended up into heaven. And we're told in Matthew 24, he is going to continue to be right there at the right hand of God. He is a seated priest. That means his work is done. Right now, where's Jesus? He's not here. He is in heaven. And he is interceding for you and for me. He's saying, that's Kelvin, Father. That Kelvin belongs to me. He's under my blood. He believes in me. And I'm interceding. He's got your back. Over and over and over again, that's what Jesus is doing right now. He's seated next to the Father. He's ascended into heaven. And yes, one day he's going to come back again. So if you see Jesus, actually see the resurrected, glorious body of Jesus, here's one thing you can know for sure. It's all over. It's done. This is a good thing because what you should be seeing and hearing next is a lot of trumpets and some angels, and all the elect coming from the four corners of the earth, because that's what Matthew 24 says, and there is going to be great rejoicing and great weeping. But we are going to be among the rejoicers, because Jesus will return. He is coming again. He's coming. He's coming to bring us home. And when he comes on that day, it's going to be a day of great rejoicing, because there's going to be no more tears. There's going to be no more divorce. There's going to be no more cancer. There's going to be no more crack cocaine. There's going to be no more taxes. Yeah. Okay, that one got you going, right? But right now, the way that God works is he says, I am going to continue to be with you. So I'm not saying God's not with us or that Jesus isn't with us, but he is with us in spirit. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've wondered, you've heard us talk about the Holy Spirit, and you wonder, well, how important is that? Why does that matter? Well, it matters because it's how the Holy Spirit, it's how we know who God is. And I just read this the other day, and I wanted to just sort of share it a little bit. We're losing this. There are people not believing anymore in the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about just anyone out there. I'm talking about evangelical Christians. Not believing that there's a real Holy Spirit. Not believing that what God says, that I'm going to send my Spirit and he's going to live in you. There's a recent poll, and it says the majority of American Christians, and I believe that probably Canadians are part of that, they don't believe that Satan is a real thing or that the Holy Spirit is a living entity. That's a Barna survey, which is a pretty reputable surveyor. Nearly 6 out of 10 Christians either strongly agree or somewhat agree that the statement that Satan is not a living being, but he's just a symbol of evil. Most Christians today think that Satan is not really an entity. There's just this evil force. And then it ends by saying, also, most Christians do not believe that the Holy Spirit can live in them. Most Christians, 59%, don't believe that the Holy Spirit, they believe that he's just a living force. 58% strongly or somewhat agree with the statement that the Holy Spirit is a symbol of God's power, but he is not a living entity. And I'm here today to tell you that that's not true. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is a living entity and that he is sent by the Father for us so that he can live in us. And I'm going to just read this to you from John chapter 14. And I don't know if you got that on the screen or not, but John chapter 14, here's some of the last words that Jesus said. He said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. And this is the important part. Listen to these words. But you know him. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. Let's say that together. I'm going to say it. You say it after me. You know him, because he lives with you, and he lives in you. Okay, we got to do it again, because this needs to get imprinted in our hearts. You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. Okay, we got to do it a lot louder, okay? I want to hear you. For you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. Okay, we're getting a lot better at this. We're going to just do it one more time. Just bear with me. I want you to walk out of this building today going, you know what? I know the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I know him. He lives in me. He lives in me. So let's do it one more time. I want to really hear you. For you know him. Because he lives with you. And he lives in you. Woo! Yeah. And then Jesus goes on. He says, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he is. He will come to you. We need the Holy Spirit. How does, you know, it's kind of, trying to explain this a little bit, but it's kind of like this. If Jesus decided that the best thing for us was that he's going to have a one-on-one with each one of us, everyone on earth, everyone who ever became a Christian, he's going to give everyone 3 minutes. He said, that's all I got. I only got time for 3 minutes for each one. And it'd be kind of like a selfie. It's like getting a selfie with Jesus. You get your 2 minutes with him, and you sit with Jesus, and you go. You take a picture, and you get that picture on your phone, right? This is me and Jesus. We get 2 minutes. Bang, right? But Jesus said, I got something way better for you than a selfie. I am going to put you, rather than just a selfie, and you might think that selfie is going to be strong enough and going to help you for years and years and years, but after a while, that's just a picture, and it's just going to get old. Instead, I'm going to put you in a family picture. I'm going to put you in the middle of a whole bunch of other good people, people who know me and who love me and who are filled with my spirit. And you're going to taste of me every single day. And I know you don't believe it right now. You'd rather just meet with me for a few minutes and have a quick coffee. But here's the truth. This is going to be so much better for you than you can ever imagine. I'm going to put you in a body. I'm going to put you in a church. I'm going to surround you with people who show you mercy, who show you love. I'm going to surround you with people who teach you about me. I'm going to surround you with people who are merciful. And I know what you want. You just want a selfie with me, but you're wrong. That's not going to be any good to you. It's much better that you see the Holy Spirit moving in my body. And that's what he does. That's who we are. That's why we get together. Does Jesus still show himself? Absolutely. But he shows himself through the Spirit of God, who's the Holy Spirit. We know, if you want to read more about this, read John, Gospel of John 14, 15, 16, 17. Read them today. He talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Right? Just like Jesus was the rabbi, he was the teacher when he was on earth. But we've got God the Holy Spirit right now. He teaches us. You know, if I'm saying something that sounds wrong, you should check it out because you have the Holy Spirit in you. You better come and see me. You know, you don't just believe everything that someone says. You have the Spirit of truth in you. You can confirm it. You can check it. The Holy Spirit is our guide, is another thing that John teaches us. What a wonderful thing. I got the Holy Spirit guiding me. Because you know what? Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I'm going down the wrong road. Sometimes I think I'm on the right road, and I'm not on the right road at all. And if I'm listening, the Holy Spirit goes, let's go this way. That's not going to work. Now, here you go. Now you're right, right? Anyone been there before? Good. Me and Marcy and two others. Good. Right? The Spirit is our guide. Oh, I get excited about this stuff. Because you guys know the truth. The truth is you have the Holy Spirit in you. You know this. I can't even explain it with words, but you know this already. You know it in your heart. You know that God lives in you. You know that there's a real God because the Spirit makes this clear. He teaches. One of the things that the Bible says is that the Holy Spirit is a convictor. That's another thing the Holy Spirit does. We live under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you've been convicted in your life, you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have stole that. I wish. Those are things that the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, not so that we stay in guilt and shame, but so that we repent and we turn to Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's the presence of God. You hear me? That is the presence of God when he's in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Those are things that don't happen normally. That's you knowing for sure that there's a Holy Spirit and he lives in you. And maybe it's just something that's starting to grow in some of you, but you know it. I don't need to convince you of it. Or even something like beauty. You think about beauty. When you see something particularly beautiful, and you know that there's a beauty maker. There's someone, it's not just random beauty, you know. There's a lot of people out there who go, well, something is beautiful, but we have no idea how it got this beautiful. It's just crazy coincidence. But you know that there's wonderful beauty because there's a beauty maker, someone who's behind the beauty. That is the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So once in a while, I get this where you're walking along and you just go, oh, that's cool. That's too beautiful. There's wonder. You know the word wonder? When you hear and you experience wonder, that's the Holy Spirit. And he lives in you. You know him because he lives with you and he lives in you. He's in you. He possesses me. Wow. And it's all about the family picture. I'm convinced of this. And I'm convinced of it because it says it in the Bible. It's all about the family picture. It's all about the body of Christ. That the main way that Jesus reveals himself to me is through you, is through the people around me. I get touched by the forgiveness of Jesus when you forgive me. I understand the mercy of Jesus when you show me mercy. You understand? When we show those things, when you give me a cup of cold water and I need a cup of cold water, you're doing it in Jesus' name. You understand? And that's how he works. He works. That's why the church is so important. That's why you're so important, because we show Jesus to one another. And it's just so startling. It's unbelievable. It's like, yes, there's Jesus. Wow. He loves me because you love me. I mean, if you could love me, then I know Jesus loves me. And it's really that simple and that clear. But it's about the family picture, and I just want to sort of end with this. I got someone a couple weeks ago, they wanted to share with me a video they thought would be really good for me. It was a song, and it was. It was a great song. I want to just try to describe it for you, though. I sat there in their home, and they played this video on YouTube, and it was this family of about 12 people, our family people, whatever. They weren't all family members, but they sang this song beautifully, something about the mountain, and we can, you know, overcome the mountains in our lives. And they knew every word, every single person knew the word, and they sat with their microphones, and there was a fire in the background, and it was a big log house, huge log house that they were in. And every single one of those 12 or 13 people were beautiful people. I mean, they were good looking. They were pretty. The guys had all their hair. They did. I'm not lying. And they one guy had a cowboy hat and he had long hair, and I mean, they were beautiful. They were pretty. They had the women wore glittery dresses that looked so good, and they sang so well, and their teeth. I couldn't believe their teeth. I'm telling you, their teeth were white, and they were whitened, and they sparkled when the camera went on them. And it was like, I'm watching this thing, I'm going, this is amazing. These people, I don't know who they are, but I know one thing, and they're good. I'm not saying they weren't good, but they're not my family. And I don't fit in the picture. That's the problem with that picture. I don't fit in the picture. There was nobody in that picture that had a gap in their teeth. There was nobody who wasn't successful. They were just all, they were mostly white. There was a couple black people, but there's no Hispanic. There was no Native Americans. There were no Asian people. You know, this is just, I guess what I'm saying is that's not my family. That's not who I belong to. And there's something about it, too, that's not true. If we're honest, some of the stuff that we get fed, some of the stuff we get from Hollywood, some of the stuff that's on YouTube, even that's coming from the churches, you know, it's just, I don't fit in that picture because I'm not good looking enough. Let's be honest, right? That's just not my family. And if Jesus is the truth, and he is, Jesus is the truth, then our picture needs to portray the truth, don't you think? It doesn't do any good if we just put on a big front and we all got capped teeth and we get toupees and we all stand together and go, here we are. This is us. Right? It's not real. It's not real. And yeah, thanks, Don. And so I'm glad that I get to associate with a church where there are some pretty ugly people. Some people who don't have straight teeth, and certainly we don't all have real shiny teeth. We stumble along, some of us who have had stuff stolen in our lives. Maybe all of us somewhere along have had, and I'm not just talking about your barbecue or 20 bucks down the road, but the enemy is stolen from us. Can we agree on that? I mean, that's what my picture is. I don't know if you can put the picture of us on the screen yet or not, but the picture of the family that I belong to is a picture of people who have experienced theft. Someone has stolen your dignity. The enemy has stolen time. He's stolen family members from you sometimes. He's stolen your peace sometimes. Is that true or not? Yeah. I belong to this family. I belong to this family where there are people who used to be prostitutes in that picture. There are people who were people who are addicted to drugs and they're recovering. There's other people in that picture who are still recovering and they're still addicted and they haven't overcome it yet, but they're still part of my family. They're still part of who I am. There are people in my family picture, hear me today, there are people in my family picture who've been through divorce and they've been through brokenness and they've been rejected. But they belong in my family and I'm proud of them. And I love them. And there are people in the picture that is us, who have been wounded. Wounded by life, wounded by really bad decisions, wounded by our fathers, maybe, our family. There's a bunch of people in that picture who've been wounded by the church. But you know what? That's my family, and I love them. And inexplicably, they love me. Thank Jesus for that. Not everyone in that picture is super successful. I can see two or three. Not everyone in the picture is super successful. Not everyone is super bright. I won't point them out. Although this guy right here. I won't say who it is, but you know what, you get what I'm saying? That this is us. And I'm glad this is us. I'm glad there's truth here. I'm glad that this is the family picture. And if you look really carefully today, if you look really carefully, somewhere in the middle, right around where Arlene is and where Jason is, there's Jesus. Right in the middle, there's Jesus. Because after all, you know, Jesus' family picture wasn't like the picture I described before with those 12 perfect people. Jesus' family picture, if he took one before he ascended into heaven, he would have had his arms around a betrayer and someone who denied him. He would have had his arms around a little tax collector called Zacchaeus, right? He would have had his arms around Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee. You know, his family, let's be honest, the family picture that Jesus had, the people that surrounded him, the ones who he said, these are my friends, they forsook him, they abandoned him, they denied him, they took off in every direction until he came back and said, hey guys, let's get back together again. And that's really, really the key, that we stick together. That we stand united. That we say, hey, this is us. And I love every one of them. They're each got a story. Each one has a story. You guys laughed at that. I didn't think you'd laugh at that. We've each come out of a context. We've each probably come out of brokenness. But this is us. And Jesus Christ is in the middle. Now, you wonder why I brought my dirty sock. Because this is a piece of pottery that Crystal's got a really good friend named Connie, and she's a potter. And she did this. She made this for Crystal. This is handmade. And I've been thinking about, I'm going to end on this note, but just thinking about pottery. You know what makes this beautiful? See, I could bring a cup out from the kitchen, one of those white cups with a little handle on it. It's not beautiful. They're manufactured by the thousands. Some machine did it. What makes this beautiful is that it's handcrafted by an artisan. It's made by someone who pushes it and who shapes it and puts color to it. And you know, the rim isn't perfect and the ridges aren't perfect, but that's what makes it beautiful. What makes it beautiful is that it's handcrafted, that someone, there's actually fingerprints, right? The Creator has his fingerprints in you, in me. He makes us, and what makes it beautiful are the flaws. I mean, if you looked at it from the point of view of it needing to be perfect, what makes this beautiful is the flaws. It's not perfect. What makes this beautiful is that it was made by the one who made me, right? It's because of our weaknesses. It's because of the things that seem not very beautiful in our lives that it's in those things that we see Jesus best. That's what I'm trying to say. You get that? We can hold up a perfect cup. Everyone goes, so what? Throw it against the wall. No one cares. If I throw this at the wall, someone's going to care, and I'm not going to do it because I'll be in big trouble. But Jesus, we see Jesus. Here's what I'm trying to say. We see Jesus in the picture because there's flaws. Because there's imperfections. It's in the imperfections that we see him. It's in what you see in me and what I see in you. The struggles, the things that aren't exactly what they should be. And that we determine that we're going to stick together no matter what. We're going to keep loving. We're going to keep showing mercy. We're going to keep on this road of promoting Christ and building his kingdom. It is then that we see Jesus. And like he says, you know him. You know the Spirit. Because the Spirit lives with you and the Spirit lives in you. Amen? Okay. I want to end today by, I'm just going to be kind of bold and ask a question. If there's anybody here today, maybe you don't know if you're in the picture. I don't mean this actual picture, but you're going, I don't know if I belong here. I'd like to belong here. I want to be a part of this. I think there's something here for me, but I don't know what it is. How do I belong? Well, there's a 14-week course, and you need to pay. No, that's not true. None of that's true. You know what you got to do? All Jesus said is you got to ask. You need to repent. It means you don't want to live the way you used to live, but you got to ask and say, I just want to be a part of this picture. So I want to give you that opportunity today. And it might be the best thing you've done in an awful long time. So it's just an invitation. And the invitation is simply this. Do you want to be a part of this picture? Do you want to be a part of a place where Jesus is the center? Where, yeah, there are some pretty messed up people here. But that's a good place to be. Because it's in the messed up people that we see the one who can unmess us. So I just want to ask you to close your eyes for just a minute. And I want you to think about it. I'm not going to take a long time. Because you know what? We're not here to twist arms. I don't want to twist your arm. If you don't want to be part of this, then we'll wait until you do want to be part of it. But if you're here today, you're hearing God say, yeah, you know, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Lord, I just ask today that by the power of your Spirit and the things that we've heard, just what we hear from you today, God, that the invitation will be heard as well. And the invitation really comes from you. You're the potter. You're the one who makes us. And no matter how out of whack we seem, and we're not very balanced sometimes as a little pieces of pottery, you still look at us and you say, wow, that's great. That is beautiful. Thank you, God. And it is you who says, come to me. If you're weary and if you're heavy burdened, if you're troubled, you just come to me. If you think you're not in the picture, guess what? You are. I came for you. I came because I love you. All you need to do is ask. There's no test to pass. There's no money to pay. Just ask, and I will incorporate you into my family. You're mine. And I know who you are, he says. I know your name. I've always known your name. I know what's going on, and I know how hard it's been. I know what's been stolen. My promise to you is that what the locusts have eaten, I'm going to repay it. I can restore. Maybe it doesn't seem like it right now. It seems like you're never going to be restored, but I can restore. Because that enemy is defeated. I proved it when I rose from the dead. And I just invite you. I invite you right now to just come to me. You need to make that step of faith. Literally, it's a step of faith. I'm going to ask you to just come forward for prayer, and we're going to pray together. You can come anytime. You can start coming right now. If you know God's calling you, then don't let me stop you by my gibbering. Just come. Jesus is calling. He's saying, come. You don't feel like you belong? It's time you belong. You are invited to belong. Thank you, Jesus. Just come on up. Come on up, anyone. Hallelujah. You belong. Family. Hi. God love you. Are there more? Anyone else? You want to just come? Say, I want my face in the picture. I want to be a part of this. You just stay up here, okay? Sorry. Don't you dare run away. There are rules. Just come and stand right by me. I want to pray for you, okay? I know there's more of you, so just don't be afraid. There you go. Come on. Jesus said, come. I love you. I love you so much. I know your name. Thank you, God. Garth, come on up. Because you know what? The rest of us are going to be really busy praying. Because that's what we just talked about. This is what the body does. We pray for each other. We love each other. We stand in a gap for each other. We don't listen to all the talk. We listen to the truth. I know there's a few others. I can just sense it. So I don't, you don't need to come, and maybe you're just too afraid. But if you want to be sure today that you're in the family picture, I invite you to come right now. And we're going to pray for these guys. Anyone else? Thank you, God. Come on up, Ray. Man, buddy, you belong. I'm so glad that you're part of what's going on with Lazarus House. Man. Amen. And I don't know if you guys read the testimony in the bulletin. This is the Ray who wrote that testimony, and that was awesome. This is what God's done and how God's changed. Amen? God's changed this man. God's changed this man. Thank you, God. We're just going to take a moment here because this is important stuff. You know how it was when we took the picture and it was hard to get everybody in the picture? You know what I want? I think what God wants, doesn't matter what I want. He wants it to be harder and harder and harder to take the picture. We need to stand further back because there's going to be more and more and more people coming. Amen? Amen. Don't be afraid. You're in the picture. You're in. Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm weak. Can you just do that again? I don't know. Just want to give people one more chance. I'm going to sing, even though that might be awful. I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. That's good. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. Sing it again. For I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. I'm just going to do it one more time, but let me just say one last thing. And then we're going to pray, and I'll dismiss you. But if you know, you're hearing God, and he's saying, hey, I'm nudging you. You're feeling it. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's saying, I want all of you. I want a brand new beginning with you. And maybe today you're here, you go, I need this brand new beginning. Man, I need this brand new beginning. I need this brand new beginning. I am sick and tired of being on that same old road. I need this new road. That's what this is about. That's what this invitation is about. So just come. One more opportunity to come. You can make it a new beginning with Jesus. And you don't need to be ashamed. Let's sing it one more time and come if you like. For I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. One more time. Yeah, I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. Man, let's get closer, guys. Okay, I want you just to say your names just loudly, because you know why? Because these people are committed to pray for you this week. So go ahead, you start loud.
Elaine.
Martha. And Martha.
Luna.
Luna? Luna, I'm so glad you're here.
April.
Garth.
Raymond.
Annie.
And Terry. Will you just put your hands up to God? Let's pray. God, right now in the name of Jesus, we celebrate that you welcome these people into the family picture and into the family of God. And we leave everything that is not from you behind us. We leave our past behind and we start a brand new beginning with you. We know the Holy Spirit because he lives with us and he lives in us. And so this morning I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll start just a great work in the lives of these men and women. They're giving themselves to you. We surrender. Yeah. We surrender to you, Jesus. Whatever that means, we surrender the drugs, the drinking, the gambling, the swearing, whatever it is, God. Anything that has been putting a wall between us and our Creator, we surrender. And together we pray for our new friends. And we're grateful, Lord, that you add to our number daily. We pray that you'll keep doing that. And Father, you know the very things in these lives that need to be laid down. You know the things that they're struggling with. You know the memories that need to be just erased. You know the guilt and the shame that we can no longer carry because it's killing us. So we just let it go. You receive it. Your blood covers it. Your blood covers it. Thank you. And like we heard this morning, you, Jesus, are the resurrected Lord. You're the King of Kings. You are the mighty conqueror. And there's nothing that you can't do. And so for the things that are in our lives right now that seem impossible, or that just seem like it's just going to be so hard, with you, nothing's impossible. We just pray in the name of Jesus for wholeness and for peace, for life. Holy Spirit, breathe life. Breathe life, Lord. There's eight of us here. Breathe in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You say amen. Why don't you stand up and just kind of come around us? Let's just come together. Everyone stand around as a family and just pray and encourage. Here I am at your feet. Here I am at your feet. In my brokenness complete. Everyone come. Here I am at your feet. My brokenness complete. Here I am at your feet. In my brokenness complete. I am at your feet. In my brokenness complete. And I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. Do that again. For I know I'm weak. I know I'm unworthy to call upon your name. But because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. Just receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. God give you his peace. God give you his peace. Remember, if you don't remember anything else as you walk out of here, remember these two words. I belong. I belong. Amen? Okay. For I know I'm weak. I know I'm worthy to call upon your name. Because of grace, because of your mercy, I stand here unashamed. I know I'm weak. Jesus loves you so much.